5. And let me cover 6 things really quickly about God's will in review. 6 things. Number 1, God's will. The will of God is first and foremost more a matter of being versus doing, having, or going. In order to walk in the will of God, God's will, it is so important that you understand who you are so you can be that. The will of God is a matter of being the righteousness of God, being the light of the world. It's all that is more important and the prerequisite to walking out your doing, havings, and goings. When people ask me about the will of God, typically they're asking me about what to do. Should I take this job or that job? Married now or get divorced, do this? They're asking me about doings. Should I get this? Should I take this job? Should I do this? Should I go here? All these questions more about doing, having, and going. And really, the will of God is found in being. And so we talked about that. And look at this passage in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 through 12 explains this. And I've showed you several scriptures about that. In Ephesians chapter 5 talks about it. But in most of the epistles, you can hear about the will of God and how to walk in it. But in Colossians chapter 1, Paul says this: "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with" what? "The knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Paul said, I pray for you that you have an understanding of God's will, right? Watch this. Here's the result of walking in God's will: that you may walk worthy of the Lord. The Bible talks about this, that there is a call that you've been called to, and he says, I pray you walk worthy of that. In other words, that your lifestyle exemplifies who you're called to be. Are y'all with me? That's what he's talking about. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. When you're walking in the will of God, everything, Your life will become fruitful. Fruitful means a fruitful marriage, a productive marriage, a blessed marriage, a blessed career, blessed health. All that's part of living a fruitful life. Blessed relationships. You see what he's saying there? Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long suffering with joy. Even in difficulty, he said, you still have joy. The joy, you're a believer. Are y'all with me? Look at the next one. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Giving thanks to the Father. Thanksgiving is a fruit of walking in the will of God. It is a part of being a believer. Paul, in chains, in prison, in the sewage, he writes, in fact, Paul, you see it in the book of Romans, he says, Paul, a prisoner of Christ. The truth of the matter was he was in prison. He was a prisoner in Rome. But he never called himself a prisoner in Rome. He always called himself a prisoner of Christ. And when he writes things like in Philippians about rejoice always, he wrote that from prison. So it didn't matter his circumstances, his condition, his surroundings. He was still a light wherever he was. And when I told you the story of Joseph last week, and that's really what God is looking for. Your doings, havings, and goings are the result of being who you're born to be. Being a born-again believer, being the righteousness of God, being the light of the world, even on a bad job, even in a bad marriage, even in a bad situation, being a light. And here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, watch what he's talking about here. He says, rejoice sometimes when times are good, when my money's right. No, always. This is part of being a believer. Pray without ceasing. And that means having constant fellowship with God. In everything, give thanks. Even if I'm in prison, even if I'm in mistake, even if I'm in a bad place in life, he says, in everything, give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So he's saying the fruit of being a believer should not change with your circumstances. And many people are saying, well, you know, when I get this right job, I'll be able to praise God and I'll be able to walk in the will of God. No, the will of God, you can do that anywhere. under any circumstances, because it's being a believer. Being a believer, that's your primary purpose. Are you with me? Do not quench the Spirit. Being full of the Spirit, there's other passages that talk about walking in the will of God. Being full of the Spirit is part of the will of God for you. Being full of the Spirit, because the Spirit is going to lead and guide you into all truth. So he says, don't quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies or the word of God. Test all things, hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Of course, we've talked about this, right? As a believer, you don't want to get caught up in mess. Come on, somebody. You don't want to get caught up in mess. It will affect the will of God for your life. Amen. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you or set you apart completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So again, he's talking about being the will of God comes from the inside of you, but it is to permeate from the inside out your whole spirit, soul, and body. So the will of God is on the inside of you. The Spirit of God is on the inside of you, right? And it's to permeate out. Amen. Amen. Secondly, number two, God's will for you is to serve him with all your heart, regardless of your circumstances. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5 through 8. Now, I love these passages. There's three passages in the New Testament that talk about slavery. And the Bible lets us know clearly that slavery is evil. Evil. It is a heinous crime. One of the most heinous crimes in the United States that's ever been committed is slavery, right? It is not the will of God. But Paul says, if you happen to be a slave, you can still have the will of God being fulfilled in your life. So in the worst of circumstances, we're in Ephesians 6. It is in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. It is also in Colossians chapter 3, I believe. Similar types of passages about, like we're reading in the New King James, it says bondservants, but in the Old King James, it says slaves. Be obedient to those who are your masters, like Joseph was. Joseph was sold off into slavery. I know that's very, you know, the Bible is never condoning slavery, but it's saying whatever position you're in, still praise God in that position. Because, y'all get this? This life is not it for us. Our life, good God, you can always tell when I want to say, and really on Sunday, I'm starting a new series that will explain many of these things. I'm starting a series. You know, do y'all know this? That for this upcoming year, one of the things that we as a church and we as a people have to do is be discipled. We have to understand discipleship and be disciples. And one of the things about being a disciple is understanding the foundations and getting a good, right foundation. So I'm going to explain a lot of those details on Sunday and how we all are, as believers, are going to stand before God. All of us. Not in terms of our salvation, but in terms of our works. And the Bible gives some great detail about that. And this is all a part of that. Whatever position you're in life, God's saying, be a believer, walk in my will even there. It's not God's will. It wasn't God's will for Joseph to be thrown into the pit or betrayed by his family. That wasn't the will of God. But he still found the will of God in that. Hold on. Do y'all know that it was not the will of God for Israel to have a king? But David was in the will of God as king. Second king. Do y'all get what I'm saying? It wasn't God's perfect will for Israel to have a king. He said, no, I don't want you to have a king. I want to be your king. Remember? And they said, no, we want a king like the rest of the nations. And God said, okay, I'm going to give you a king. And he gave him Saul. Remember? And then Saul failed. And then King David, a man after God's own heart. The Bible says he was a great, great king. But, so you get what I'm saying? Even in situations that aren't perfect, the will of God for you can be found in that. All right? And so, and that's what I'm getting at. What I'm getting at is when you find if you be who you're born to be in whatever circumstances you're facing, that brings forth the doings, havings, and the goings. It's birthed in that. It wasn't the will of God for Joseph's family to betray him, But in that, because he believed God, the will of God came through and still brought to pass the promise that God had for him in a bad situation. So even while he's thrown in the pit, right, and sold off into slavery, into Potiphar's house, and then accused of a, right, he's promoted in Potiphar's house. Was it God's will for him to be a slave? Probably not. His family betrayed him. But in that, he still found the will of God for him. Do y'all get what I'm saying here? So, and my whole point is this. Many people go around the same mountain in life years, decades, because they don't pass the test where they are. Joseph maybe would have never been promoted had he had the wrong attitude in the pit, in slavery, and in prison. But the Bible shows us Joseph had a great attitude there because he knew who he was. He knew who he was, and although it wasn't panning out for him, it didn't seemingly pan out. He was in prison for 12 to 13 years for a sexual crime that he didn't commit. But while in prison, the Bible says he had favor. He got favor there, and he was promoted in the prison. One day, because of the right attitude, everything turned for his good. One day. And so you may be in a bad place right now. You may be in a place that you don't desire to be in, but the key to the will of God is being the righteousness of God. The will of God for us is to represent Christ in the earth. Now watch, all of us have an eternal will of God that all of us collectively and individually should fill as the body of Christ. And that is to represent or to reflect the glory of God. The whole earth should be full of his glory. And the only part of creation that doesn't reflect the glory of God is mankind. We as born again believers, that's our primary position, eternal position in God. Now watch, we all have a secondary assignment and call that you have been gifted. You've been gifted with unique gifts. Your gifts are different than my gifts. All of us are uniquely gifted to put us in a specific place, in a specific realm where you are the representative of Christ there. I am a pastor. I'm a teacher. I'm born to do that. But God is more interested in me reflecting the glory of Christ as a man, as a husband, as a father, as a believer, than he is in me being a pastor. Because if I'm a pastor, if I fulfill my second call, but I have not fulfilled my first call as being a representative of Christ, I'm going to do more damage than good as a pastor. Sleeping with women, having babies, and all this kind of foolishness that you hear that goes on, that's outside of the will of God. God would rather me, you get it? And oftentimes we get caught up in that secondary call, but the secondary call is really the result of properly walking out that primary call as a believer. You and I are called to reflect the glory of God in our lives. We are Christ's personal representatives in the earth. That is your primary call. And you can do that in prison. Come on, somebody. Paul did. And that's what we've got to get in order first, all right? Okay, and that's what we've been talking about in this series. Did I cover that? Bond service. Watch what he says here. Bond service. Be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh and with fear and trembling in sincerity of heart as to who? Christ. Right, so that's the primary function. It's to Christ. It's not to them, not to whoever our master is there. We're serving as unto Christ. All right, being a pastor as unto Christ, being a lawyer as unto Christ, being a engineer as unto Christ, being a whatever as unto Christ. Are you with me? Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. There it is again. The will of God is to be that believer in any circumstances. Y'all see it? With goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. He's saying it doesn't matter the condition you're in. Ooh, this is the part I'm holding back. I'm holding back because I want to show you this. Because I don't want to go to the scriptures. I got too many to show you. But we are going to stand before God for that. It's that. The Bible says, be careful how you build on that foundation. You've heard that song, only what you do for Christ will last. True. You being a doctor, yes, God wants you to do that if that's what you're born to do. But the primary reason for being a doctor is being a representative of Christ there. There, and you've got skills that will put you before people that others won't. Whatever it is that you do, say, I'm a believer. I've got to be that. That's what that is, being that. And why many believers are caught up in foolishness and mess is because they don't know who they are in Christ. Am I saying that with a smile? I don't want to be, have an attitude. I'm just saying that's how believers get caught up in all kinds of foolishness, just like the world, because they don't clearly know who they are. And that's why we've explained all that. Amen. Number three, God's will is in you in Christ. Look at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12 through 15. Paul writes, he says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Again, Paul is saying, don't just be a believer when I'm there. Let it be from the inside out. It's inside of you. Work it out. Right? Therefore, here it is. Go to the next one. For it is God who works where? In you. Look at this. Both to will. God's will is in you. He's working it out in you and to do for his good pleasure. So what he's saying is God gives you the will and the desire to do his will from the inside. So many times we're looking out here for the will of God. God, what's my will? What's your will for my life? What's your will? And it's being who you're born to be, who you're born again to be as a believer, and birthed out of that relationship with Christ, that intimate relationship with Christ. It is more by default you walk in that. No one had to train you to be a sinner. And it happened by default. No one has to train a bird to be a bird. They're being who they are. And so the Bible teaches us all this, and that's what we're going to get to. Do all things without complaining and disputing. Do all things without complaining. Do y'all get what he's getting at right here? So even when I'm in a bad situation, I'm a believer. I'm going to represent Christ in a bad situation. My boss is doing me wrong, and I'm still going to represent Christ. The world would cuss him out, quit, and be in a bunch of mess, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to humble myself, go before the Lord, talk to him about it, and go to God with it. Now, yes, there may be things I need to get out of and do it, but I'm not going to cuss somebody out and act like an unbeliever. I'm going to be a Christian and let God fight these battles for me. Do all things without complaining and disputing. Next. That you may become blameless. And this is my point right here. Many of the difficult challenges that we face in life are circumstances that God will use to help you, to help chisel off some of the stuff that will keep you from being all God's called you to be. The pit, the palace. I told y'all, when I was a youth pastor in Columbus, Ohio with Rod Parsley, that they had that Partridge Family looking bus. Y'all know the one? It's painted. They let the kids paint it and told me as a youth pastor to drive it. But here I am, you know, 28, 29 years old, right? And when my friends who are graduated out of college, they're driving up next to me in their Mercedes, and I'm sitting there in the Partridge Family bus, and they blow on the horn. I'm just like, oh, snap. And they're like, Lee. And I'm like, oh, Lord, please, please, please. I don't want to look. I don't want to look. I don't want to look. And I look, and they're like, what's up? I even had somebody that I graduated with high school was like, so what are you doing now? And what it was God humbling me. Right. You get what I'm saying? And many of us, immaturity can't see that it's immature. Right. All of us have blind spots in life. Most of us don't know our weaknesses or see the things that are keeping us from being what God wants us to be. And it was for Joseph, the pit, the palace, I mean, slavery. It was prison that helped work those gifts and the things. He never interpreted a dream until he was in prison. There was no dream interpretation by Joseph until he was there. God was able to bring forth great things that were in him in bad situations. Come on, somebody. Y'all know it. It's easier to worship and praise God with no money in your pocket than with a whole bunch of money in your pocket. I know it is. Come on, somebody. Have you ever been broke down and you're like, good Lord, I need you, Jesus? When you're trying to figure out how to pay your rent, oh, you won't miss church. Oh, but if your money is full and your money's right and you got a whole bunch of money in your pocket, I ain't got no time for Pastor Lee. I ain't got no time for that. I can see him online. Come on, somebody. That's most believers, most believers. And so what we've got to learn is discipleship, that we've, and that's what Paul's talking about. In whatever circumstance you're in, learn to be the believer. Come on, somebody. All right, that you become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. You're to be the light of the world. You see it there again? That's who we are, salt and light of the world. Amen. Regardless of what's going on. All right, number four. All right. Number four, God's will comes naturally through the new man as you present your body a living sacrifice and renew your mind. Remember? Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I've always showed you this. Look at this. Verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore. Whenever you see therefore in the Bible, it's there for a reason, and it's there's pretext to therefore, right? And we've studied the pretext over the last several weeks. The pretext in verse 33, he says, who can know the will of God? Who can know the mind of Christ? All this stuff. He's like, who can know it? It's far beyond our ways. But then in verse 36, the verse right before verse 1, chapter 11, verse 36, he says the answer is, it's in Christ. It's Christ. The will of God is in Christ. Everything is held together because of him. It's in him. Know him. And he goes on, and it's a long verse when you're reading the Amplified Bible. And because of that, he says, I beseech you, because Christ is in you, brethren, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, number one. And number two, don't be conformed to this world or molded to this world, but be metamorphosed, transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? That you may prove or show proof of what is that good and acceptable and perfect what? Will of God. So we explained all this last week. I'm not going to go into detail about it again, except this, that your body, have y'all figured out that your body is crazy yet? Yes. Come on, I ain't the only one that got a crazy body. I know I'm not the only one that can eat a whole pound cake in 2 days. Come on, somebody. Potato chips are calling me right now. You hear what I'm saying? Every time I walk in the grocery store, those jalapeno potato chips are like, Lee, we back here, dog, we back here. Come hook up. We got you. And I'm like, dang, I can't do it. But my body, come on, your body's too. Come on, somebody. Right there is where I'd normally sing Ara Kelly, but y'all get mad at me. My mind's telling me. Y'all know, right? That's why he's in jail right now. Come on, somebody. Amen. All right, so y'all get that. So you can't let your body do whatever it wants, and you've got to renew your mind, and the will of God will come forth in that born-again spirit that's in you. Look, but here's one of the major keys too. Number five. The will of God is revealed and made known to me in genuine relationship with Christ, not religion or rules. This is what separates the disciple from the nominal believer. Genuine relationship. Christianity is about genuine, intimate relationship with Christ. Amen. I'm going to talk about that on Sunday again. That's what I'm really going to break into. But look over in John chapter 15. I'm going to read it in the Passion Translation. John chapter 15. Actually, John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. All Jesus at the Last Supper, right? Betrayed by Judas. And at the Last Supper, he begins to share some real intimate. If you read it in the New King James, it says, I am the vine, ye are the branches, that whole dissertation right there. When the New Passion, in the Passion Translation, listen what Jesus is saying right here. He says, so you must remain in life union with me. Who is he talking to? He's talking to his own disciples. He's talking to people who already believe in him. Watch. You must remain in life union with me, for I remain in life union with you. For as a branch severed from the vine will not bear fruit, so your life will be fruitless unless you live your life, how? Intimately joined to mine. And that's what we've been talking about, this intimate, what Christianity and it's genuine Christianity, is real Christianity, is an intimate marriage with Christ. We're the bride of Christ, he's the husband. It is an intimate union, closer than a marriage. Closer than a marriage. Shanae and I have a marriage, and because of our love for each other, it produces fruit automatically. I had to go and make sure I can't produce any more fruit. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
Don't make me break that down for you, okay? Come on. This is not children's church. And Jesus is saying here, if you have this intimate relationship with me, your life will produce fruit. Let's read it. I am the sprouting vine, and you're my branches. As you live in union with me as your source, fruitfulness will stream from where? From within you. You'll be pregnant with the will of God. But when you live separated from me, you are powerless. Again, who's he talking to? He's talking to believers. So there are believers that can live just like a bad marriage. Just a bad marriage. Y'all have seen bad marriages? Heard people with bad marriages? Hopefully you don't have one. Get in Bob and them's Marriage on the Rock class. But where the people don't talk, they're not talking to each other, all kinds of foolishness going on. God is saying, look, if you're in a union with me, you're going to produce fruit from the inside. I am the sprout. Oh, I read that one, right? If a person is separated from me, he is discarded. Not that God's going to discard you. You'll self-destruct yourself. You'll jack up and ruin your own life. If a person is separated from me, he is discarded. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire to be burned. But if you live in life union with me and my, look at this, and my words live powerfully within you. So we see this intimate relationship has to do with prayer, fellowship with God, and being in his word. It's necessary. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. If you continue in my word. And that means being continuously in his word, living by his word. If you live in life union with me, and if my words live power within you, look at this, then you can ask whatever you desire, and it will be done. We talked about that as well, and there's a bunch of scriptures in the New Testament. Jesus said this kind of passage over and over and over. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened to you. Whoever asks, receive. Whoever seeks, finds. Whoever knocks, the door will be opened to him. And he goes on and says these kind of things. He says, because it glorifies my Father to do this for you. What is he talking about? We can just make a big old grocery list of whatever we want? No, what he's saying is when you come into union with me, your thoughts will be conformed to my thoughts. Your desires will become my desires. My desires will become your desires. You'll be thinking like me because you've renewed your mind to my word and you've stopped doing the hanging out with the knuckleheads you used to hang out with. Come on, somebody.
That's right.
Y'all didn't say amen right there. Is that all right? Yeah. I was like, I'm going to still hang out with the knuckleheads. No. Watch this. When your lives bear abundant fruit, not if, when. This intimate relationship with Christ will produce fruit in your life, abundant fruit. You demonstrate that you are my mature disciples who glorify my Father. Do y'all see that? We've talked about that. So it is an intimate relationship with Christ, and I'm going to really show you some of the details of that coming up in this next series that I'll be teaching on Sundays. All right? Number six. God's will is found in your wholehearted, relentless pursuit of him. If you are genuinely, wholeheartedly in pursuit of God, you're going to walk out the will of God in your life.
Amen.
Look over Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11, NIV. I'm going to read through 13. God says, for I know the plans I have for you. Say, thank God he's got plans for me. Well, look at the plans. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Look at this. Then you will call on me. And come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. He says, you're going to find out that I've got a plan for you. How do you get it? Come and pray to me. Come and hang out with me. You will seek me. Look what he's saying here. God, you've got a plan for me. Have y'all been there in life before where you're like, God, what am I supposed to do with my life? What am I supposed to do with my life? I remember coming to that place in life, like going, I know there's got to be more to life than going on this job every day. And just paying, I know there's got to be more. And I got hungry enough to say, God, I got to know what it is. I want to know what you want for me. And look what he says. When you seek me, you will, and find me when you seek me with your whole heart. What is he saying? When you find me, you're going to find your will, my will for your life. I've got a plan for you. Don't seek the plan, seek me. As long as you're in pursuit of him, you're going to walk out the will of God in your life. And that should be your life pursuit, seeking after him. Lord, what do you want for me? Lord, I think. And the seeking for him is this fellowship, this worship time, this, oh, I'm going to show you what that is here in a second. All right, praise the Lord. All right, did y'all see that? Did I read all those? Yes. Okay, now, last week we talked about this, the evolution of God's will in your life from Psalms 37. I had to rush through it, but let's cover these verses. There's only four verses here real quickly. The evolution of God's will in your life, you'll see it right here in these Psalms 37, verse 4 through 8. Look at this. The Bible says, y'all there? Delight yourself also in the Lord. Delight. The word delight in the Hebrew means to take pleasure in, love, relish, savor, enjoy greatly, wallow, adore. I delighted in that pound cake. I'd be thinking about it like, man, and then I have to make a decision. Do I eat dinner or do I eat the pound cake? I want both, but I can't have both. I know if I'm going to just do one or the other. I justified eating the cake by not eating anything else. All right. But I delighted in it. I put it in the microwave for 30 seconds. It's hot. See, right now I'm delighting in it. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord. And y'all know, when I read that years ago, that wasn't real to me. It was like, what does that mean? What does that mean, delight yourself also in the Lord? I mean, I knew literally because I could read it, but I didn't experience that. I know what that is now. I really do. I know what it means to really enjoy the Lord. I mean, it makes me emotional to think of where my life would be without him and how real he is and how much he changed my hopeless, messed up, toe up life around. I'm amazed that I'm standing up here with you. Blows me away. I'm so grateful. And today, just talking to the Lord about, Lord, just asking him instructions. Lord, I thank you. And I got really excited. I got really excited because I was like, Lord, I don't know what to do about, you know, I'm asking him questions about discipling and discipling y'all. Like, I want to do this, and I want to make sure that I do it in the will of God, the way you want me to do it, and with people, and not just copy what somebody else does. I want to know what this is. And then he reminded me. Because I was getting anxious. I was like, Lord, I want to know. I really want to know. And I was getting nervous because I'm thinking, like, God, you know, the time that it would take and all this. And then he reminded me. He said, do you remember when your wife left, your first wife, not this one, your first wife left, and you were crying for weeks on end, for months, and I just cried, and I was so brokenhearted. And he said, look how I turned that around, and you didn't know how I was going to do it. And I instantly lost all the anxiety and threw my hands up and said, God, I don't know how you're going to figure this out, but I know you are. I know you're going to do it. So I thank you. And it changed from anxiety to faith. Thank you, Jesus. And that's what David did. That's what David did. He remembered how God had delivered him from the bear and the lion. Standing in front of Goliath. Think of how ominous that must have been in his mind to walk up there. He's a youth. It's absolutely ridiculous. We've been there in Jerusalem. We've been there on that hill where, you know, at least they tell you where. Our tour guide was telling us this, and it was. We climbed up there, and we could look out on this mountain where the army of Philistines were and where the army of Israel was. And you can see this is two big mountains and a big valley in between. And think about it. A kid rolls up there. The Bible calls him a ruddy boy. Goes up and looking around and think about it. And what convinced him, he said, God delivered me from the hand of the lion and the bear. He's going to deliver this Philistine, this uncircumcised Philistine, into my hands. Think of that. He looked back, and that is such a powerful thing. Anybody remember when you couldn't figure out how this was going to work out for you, how it was going to look like maybe you were going to lose everything? And then God somehow. Still blows me away. still blows me. Take a second. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We long for your will in our lives. We long for it. We hunger for it. We need it. We need it in our careers. We need it in our children's lives. We need it in our marriages. We need it in our health. There's people suffering with disease and cancer, and the doctors don't have answers. We need your will in our lives, Lord. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you for it. Amen. Amen. Excuse me. Delighting yourself in the Lord. That's what I'm talking about right there. Right there. Just delight in him. Delight in him and thank him and worship him. And look what he says he'll do. And he shall give you the desires of your heart. And again, what that means is if these are God's desires, God has a desire for you to run a business or whatever it is, to be married. This is God's desires, and he puts those desires in your heart. Now you start desiring that. You start desiring this thing. Are y'all with me? I mean, I know this. I couldn't even imagine. I never had anybody in my life that I saw as a pastor that I wanted to be like. I was always intimidated by him. Are y'all with me? It had to be God dropping it in my heart, or I would never want to do this. You get what I'm saying? This was not on the radar for me. This was not on my bucket list. It was not even on the radar. And it became a desire. Are you with me? So that's what he's saying. You delight in me, and that's a lifelong endeavor. That's a lifelong thing. And he shall give you the desires of your heart. He'll put his desires in your heart. Are with me? Now watch this. Turn over in your Bible, because I wanted to show you this delighting. Over in Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Look at this. Remember Martha and Mary? Y'all remember them? Two sisters. Here it is, showing you just delighting. And watch the difference here, because Martha and Mary, sisters. Watch this. Now it happened as the disciples went, that he, Jesus, entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary. Yes, you know the two, Martha and Mary, who also, look at her, who sat at Jesus' feet and did what? All the disciples over there, Jesus and the disciples, all at Martha's house, and her sister, maybe roommates, she's sitting down with all the fellas listening to Jesus. Martha in there trying to get the chicken wings together, trying to get the salad. You know, brothers don't want salad. We want meat. Trying to get the meatballs, all the stuff. Well, they're kosher, of course. And she had a sister named Mary who was sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Watch this. But Martha was distracted with much serving. Hear what Jesus is trying to show us right here. It's easy to get distracted in life by even serving God. You know, we've got people here that serve, and I always get concerned about that. People in the children's ministries, people running that back in the back, doing all, whatever we're doing all over, make sure you don't get distracted serving and don't do what's the most important thing, which Jesus outlines here. Watch what happens from being distracted. But Martha was distracted with much serving. It was a good thing, but she was distracted, and she approached Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care? Do you not care? Watch there, because Jesus is showing us some things here in the scripture. Have you ever been there in life where you've wondered, don't you care? I'm going broke. My marriage is falling apart. My health, the doctor said I'm going to die. Don't you care? And look what he's saying. He says, don't you care that my sister has left me alone to serve? Therefore, she tells Jesus, therefore tell her to help me. And Jesus answers and said to her, Martha, Martha. Whenever Jesus calls your name two times, he's about to correct you in a loving way. Remember? Paul, Paul, why you kick against the pricks? Acts. Remember? Jesus, when he calls your name two times, he's about to lovingly correct you. And he said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. When you get distracted from doing the most important things, you will be worried and troubled about many things. When you miss this most important thing, watch this. And Jesus answers in the mind of mind, why you remember tomorrow. Next. But one thing. Not two, not three, not numerous things. One thing is necessary. And Mary's doing it. What is that? Sitting down at my feet. And see, this is so easy in today's culture to get so busy with work and stuff. We don't have time for the word. We don't have time for church. We don't have time to do any of that. We don't have time for that. I got to work. I got to take Johnny over to this and this practice and that practice and run him over here and run him over there and run him over there. I don't have time for church anymore. You're going to find yourself worried and troubled by many things. He said, because you've got to take time. Now watch, y'all. And I get it. Please don't take this as condemnation. But please hear what Jesus is saying here. The most important thing for you to do in life is sit at his feet and hear his word. Amen. Have fellowship with him. And that's what Mary was doing. She was sitting there, and Martha was bothered by that. And Jesus said, no. She's doing, watch what else he says about. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part. Jesus calls this the good thing, not the food. He could have multiplied the chicken wings. Yeah. The fish, the fried fish, right? I choose this, believe it was fried fish. Come on, somebody. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. He's talking about this is foundational right here. This is foundational. If you'll make this getting with Jesus. Now watch, I get it. We all have busy schedules. We all go to work and all that. But what I'm saying to you is take the time in the morning. You've got to do this, y'all. You've got to do this. I get calls all throughout the week with people running into, you know, calls with this cancer, calls with major stuff. And when I talk to them, many of the things that should be a part of their lifestyle could have completely avoided this situation that they're in right now. You get it? And now watch, don't get under condemnation about that. There's many things in life we will not understand until Christ comes. And we've used faith, it didn't work out. And the Bible talks about that. The Bible talks about it in Hebrews chapter 11, that there were many who stood on the promises of God and never saw the promise. And there are some of us who, there's some things we just don't understand. Amen? But the Bible says you will be recompensed. Come on, if cancer took out a loved one and it wasn't right, it wasn't fair, they used their faith and somehow it didn't work out, God said, they are going to be there. It is going to be recompensed on that day. All right, so everything that's been unjust, unbalanced, it's going to work out for your good anyway. Come on, somebody. All right, but this is important that we get this, and this is a part of being discipled, that we've got to make this thing. If you can get to this point where you're in a real relationship with Christ, you'll want to do it. If you're in a good marriage, you want to hang out with your spouse. You want to talk. You want to hang out and laugh. It's so much fun to be in a relationship. It's so much fun that God is for me. It's so fun. It's so easy to have an optimistic outlook on life, knowing that God is for you. Who can be against you? Come on, somebody. If the whole world is against you and God's for you, you still win, even if the world thinks you lose. You still win. You can't lose. Ooh, Jesus, I'm getting excited myself. All right, did y'all get that right there? That's what delighting in the Lord is. Jesus is saying that's the most important part. Did y'all see that? Amen. Verse 5. Okay, so I've been delighting in the Lord. Psalms 37, I'm sorry, verse 5. We just did verse 4. Delight in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Now, okay, like for example with me, God gave us a desire in our hearts, gave me a desire in my heart to pastor. But I've never been a pastor. I didn't know any of this. So I have to go to the Lord and commit it back to him. God drops something in your heart. What the scripture is saying is there's a process to this. Don't just jump out and try to do that on your own. That's what Moses did. Moses was a deliverer, but when he tried to deliver the children of Israel on his own, he killed the guy, buried him in the sand, feet probably sticking up. He was on the backside of the mountain for 40 years. Right call, wrong timing. No anointing. He did it in his own strength. It didn't work out. Are you with me? 40 years later, God rolled up on him again. He rolled up on the burning bush, and now was the time, and he was in a position to receive it. All right? So he says, take that and commit your way to the Lord. Take it to the Lord. Trust also in him. And what? He'll bring it to pass. He'll bring it to pass. Verse 5 is about that God is saying, trust in me. Look at the next verse 6. Verse 6, he says, he shall bring forth your righteousness as the light. Now, with this whole verse and your justice as the noonday, this whole verse is talking about that process. There's a process that's going on right now while you're in waiting, while you've committed it to the Lord. Again, God is now starting to work out some of those issues and positioning you for what he's called you to do. Are you with me? Don't just jump out there doing it. He's saying, take it to me. I'll open the right doors for you. Don't push your way in. Don't force. Don't jump into a marriage. Don't jump out of a marriage. Don't push your way into things. He's saying, no, wait on the Lord. I'm going to bring forth your righteousness as light. I'll do that. He shall bring forth, all right? And your justice as a noonday. I'll work out all these things for you. You keep delighting in me. You keep trusting in me. Look at the next verse. Rest in the Lord. So he's telling us here, and y'all have heard this phrase before, trust in him. Rest in the Lord. And I broke it down into three bullet points here. Number one, rest in the Lord. He means to wait patiently for him. We said this last week. Do not fret. Number two, do not fret. Do not fret. Why? Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way. You know, when you're waiting on God for something, it seems like you can start seeing everybody else getting, like my story with me in the Partridge Family bus and my peers already walking out what God had for them. I am, but I'm in the process. Are you with me? And he's I'm being humbled, all kinds of stuff. I'm being broke, a whole bunch of stuff. Are you with me? Oh God, I can tell you so many things about that period in my life that broke my heart, during that time. I knew I had a call. All right, I'm not gonna go into all that, all right? But it can really hurt watching other people walk in what God has for them, seemingly, and you being seemingly stuck. Right? So he says, don't fret because of him who prospers in his way, and also because of him who, the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. People doing wrong. He says, don't worry about them. Get your eyes off of people and put your eyes on me. Delight in me. That's what Jesus is saying right here. All right? So while you're in waiting and these desires in your heart, I wanted to show you here to, and then cease from anger. Cease from anger. Verse 8. Cease from anger. Cease from anger. Why would he even put that there? Because waiting is hard. Yes. Is anybody like me? Does anybody every time pick the wrong line at the bank drive-thru? Relentless. I'm like, oh my God. Start praying in tongues and everything. Yeah. Get over in this line and like, this line goes through, everybody's gone, you get it, I pull in the shortest line, and this dude up here on the microphone just asking him all kinds of stupid questions. I don't know what he's asking, but he's, oh, come on. Is anybody having that? Waiting is hard is my point. So he knows, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. He's saying, learn to trust in me. Now, waiting on the Lord does not mean just sitting on your hands and doing nothing. Sitting on your laurels and just saying, I'm just going to trust God. Particularly if you're in a position of needing a job or something like that. There are things that you do in that waiting period. Amen. But let's go over this one, and I'll get to that in just a second. How's my time? Yes, we're good. Let's cover this. How do I test these desires? Because have y'all ever thought God was leading you a certain way, but then found out not so? How many of you know we can miss God? I'll wait for the rest of y'all liars. Okay, there we go. Okay, everybody. Yes, we all can miss God. All of us can. I have. All of us can. And so the Bible teaches us to test those desires. Test those things. If something drops in your heart, test it. So let me give you four ways to test those desires. God, in you're hanging out with God, you're fellowshipping, and then all of a sudden, I think I want to start a church. Praise the Lord. Boy, I've seen this happen a lot. All right, so testing desires. Number one, do my desires violate scriptures or kingdom principles? All right? God will never violate his word. Never. You know, I feel in my heart that God's telling me to leave my wife and go hook up with Bobby's wife. Now, y'all know it's ridiculous. I'm just saying that. I'm making it, it's not going to happen. But I'm just saying, people have said, in fact, I had somebody come to us, Shanae and I did. We had somebody come to us one time, and they said, God told me Now, he said that God told me, and people think that gets them out of anything. God, you just say anything crazy is to follow right now. You just like buck up like, uh-oh, God told him. What? You get ready. God told me to have a baby. I said, did he tell you to get a husband first? Because he was a single person. He said, no, he just told me to have a baby. I said, he probably means that after you get married. And yeah. She said, no, he wants me to have a baby now. I said, and I'm pregnant. Well, I guess he does want you to have it now. And we, of course, we're asking her. She said, no, God told me to get pregnant. God told me to have this baby. I said, no, he didn't. And she bucked up, man. She told us we had devils and just all kinds of crazy stuff. Of course, she left the church, of course. But it will never violate scripture. It will never violate kingdom principles, never. John chapter 17:17. God is not divided against his own word, right? Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. What will set you apart is the truth. And this is why we have to have a really intimate relationship with the word. Get a Bible that you can understand and make a commitment to it. And come to church so I can explain it to you. God has, the scriptures are constructed as such. They require the fivefold ministry. They are. Have y'all noticed that if you come here, that I'll explain a passage you've read before and it's just like, wow, it makes so much more sense? Because I'm anointed to do that. That's my assignment. Are y'all with me? And so anything that God drops in your heart, it is always going to be in agreement with his word. Amen. It's not going to violate scriptural principles. So many are seeking answers from God that he's already answered in the scriptures. You don't. I am not going to waste any prayer or brain space on, am I supposed to leave my wife? Come on, somebody. Now, we have people that come to us all the time, and there are people that we're helping counsel and that are in serious situations. Serious situations where there's, you know, been adultery, there's been physical abuse, there's been all types of abuse. And Shanae and I, in these situations, we still will never say to you, we will not say it to you, leave them. Right. We will not say divorce them. We have said you may need to separate. Because that's scriptural. You can do that. But we will never, ever, under most circumstances, we will not tell you to divorce someone. Why? Because if they repent and turn their life around and you've divorced them, guess where you coming? Yeah. Pastor Lee told me. And then it becomes my fault. Yeah. And I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And it can be some bad situations. So we have people calling us all the time. Pastor, we want to sit. And I say, I'm not sitting with you anymore. I done counseled you out. I'm through. I'm done. I'm tired of spending all day, all my days off, sitting here talking to you over and over and over. You already know what it is. I've showed you the scriptures. You've got to make a decision. But I'm not going to tell you. You got to get with God, and you've got to know and have peace in yourself. Trey asked me last week, you know, he's in Taekwondo and he had some conflict. He's got a belt testing, but then he wants to play basketball. And he didn't think the master, whatever his name is, Lanning or something, Master Lanning, Trey didn't think he was pleased when he told him that I'm not going to be here at the belt testing. I had to do a makeup. And Trey was real disturbed by this. He's like, Dad, Master Lanning wasn't happy about that. And so on and so forth. I said, well, Mom already talked to him about it. He said, do you think I should play basketball? I said, Trey, I'm not going to tell you that. I said, let me ask you this. Are you passionate about basketball? He said, no, but I'm not passionate about Taekwondo either. I said, guess what I said? I said, well, I've been sitting here in Taekwondo, and I said, I'm passionate about Taekwondo, and here's why. There was a little boy. It was so funny, y'all. Can I tell you? There was a little boy in Taekwondo, I'm there in his Taekwondo. He had it on Monday nights and he has it on Wednesdays too, right? Wednesday before church. And he's in there, and this other little boy, there's a little boy in there, and they're both the same belt. I don't remember. They're green belts, high green belts. So they're getting ready to go be blue belts. And they're doing their things, and he's getting them prepared for the test that's coming up on Saturday. And he's getting prepared. And Trey's doing it really great. He's doing all the stuff, and he's doing all the kicks, and he's ha! And they have to yell. Well, the little boy wouldn't yell. The little boy next to him wouldn't yell. And then Master Lanning says, whatever his name is, he says, I need to hear you yell. And the little boy goes, I don't like yelling. Master Lanning goes, since when? You were yelling last week. He says, well, I don't like yelling. I don't want to yell. And Mrs. Taekwondo, I mean, it's all about discipline. It's all about, and so he said, you know what? He said, well, and I'm getting ready, because it's like, he has a soft, I mean, it's like Kwai Chang Kang or something, you know what I mean? And he sits with his legs, well, you know, there's a lot of young people that don't like to obey. And there's many children that don't like to say yes, sir. And there's many children that don't like to do what their parents say. And he says, and so there's a lot of things. He says, I can make a long list of what I know some young people don't want to do. And he went through all this thing and this long speech. And of course, Trey's standing there hearing all this, and the parents are sitting here hearing all this, and we're hearing it. I'm wanting to stand up. Yes, yes, yes. Say that, Master Lanning. Say that. And he's like, so he says, I'm going to need you to yell when you do that. Right, and he, you know, he gave a long speech. It took him like 5 minutes, and he was a little bit long, but he made his point. His point was, listen, it doesn't matter what you want to do. If you're going to get a belt test and you're going to pass, you're going to do this, because this is a part of life. And he just started explaining to him life. And so, I told Trey when we left, we're in the car. I said, this is why I like Taekwondo, because he makes you say yes, sir. He reinforces what we tell you. And somehow, and I said, you know what, somehow, how come Master Lanning says whatever he says, you go, yes, sir. I said, when I say, or your mama says, you'd be like, yes. I'm like, hold up. Sir. Master Lanning did not put that food on the table or them clothes on your back or put that bed up in that room. He didn't do it. You get what I'm saying? So, okay, why am I going down this road? Oh, the point was, Trey wanted me to tell him, should he do? And I said, no, that is not, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do, you've got to decide what you want to do, and you've got to decide if you're passionate about it. I believe, and I told him this, I said, I don't think you should do anything that your heart's not into. Right. If your heart's not into it, you're not going to enjoy it. It's not, you're going to be successful at it. But so on and so forth. And that's why he came back. Well, my heart, I ain't really passionate about Taekwondo. Hey, man. And that's all right. I have no problem with that. Many are seeking. Okay, all right. Look, number two. Do my desires hurt or harm me, my family, or the body of Christ? Does it hurt? Look at Romans chapter 13, verse 10, NLT, New Living Translation. Love, God is love, right? Love does no wrong to others, so love fulfills the requirements of God's law. Do y'all know that the Old Testament had 10 commands and several of these statutes, but Jesus narrowed it down into two in the New Testament? Y'all know what they are? What are they? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. And love your neighbor like you love yourself. And then John improved it. He said, love your neighbor like the Lord loves you. Christ loves you, right? Two commandments. And then Jesus said over and over, all the law and the commandments all hang on those two. And they really do. In other words, loving God like you love yourself is the same. If I love Bobby, my neighbor, my brother, I'm not going to, if I cheat on my wife, right, it's going to hurt her. It's going to hurt whoever's spouse I cheated with. It's going to hurt my kids. I'm not loving them. If I steal Bobby's car, I've just, and it's like, don't do it. No, I'm good. Y'all know I'm just saying examples, please, y'all. Just making up names. I use them because they won't get offended. If I use y'all, you're like, I can pass it on, steal my car. I had somebody say something crazy to me before. I have. I've had people, I use them as a fun example because I like them, and then they turned it around on me. I'm like, what? I was just saying y'all look good. I think, you know, it's like, God, people. All right. I got to use Bobby because I know Bobby. Yes, sir. And he's going to write me a letter and start talking bad about me. You get what I'm saying? And so that the whole law is that. So if anything harms others, that's against God's will. If the Lord told me to go to Timbuktu, leave my family, and go minister there to a third world nation somewhere, and now my family can't pay the mortgage, they're going to lose the house, that is not the will of God. All right? And all kinds of, y'all get that? Okay, number three. Will Will my desires pass the test and judgment of sound counsel? Many people are afraid to even bring stuff to us. Like I see some people, they'll move to another city for a job making $5 more an hour, but the city they're moving to, the cost of living is $20 more an hour. So they've left their church, left their family. They don't consider anything else. Get wise counsel before you make major decisions, right? Will my desires pass the test of judgment and sound counsel? Proverbs chapter 14, verse 11, verse 14. Where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Now, if you've moved, come on, don't, oh God. It's almost, I'm almost leery to say anything because somebody can, well, dang, I had to move. No. All right. But if you're making a major decision in life, like marriage, like uprooting in church, you know, because in the generation we live in, there it's a generation that is not committed to anything. This generation doesn't understand commitment. They don't understand loyalty and commitment and pushing through difficulties. Just bail out and let's try it again. Well, that's why you've been married 5 times. That's why you keep changing. Don't you get it? You keep changing churches, but the problem goes wherever you go. It's following you everywhere. Come on, somebody. All right. Okay. Proverbs 24 and 6. And by wise counsel, you wage your own war, and in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. Yeah, it is hot. Is it warm to y'all? It's on fire in here. I'm telling you, we're soon going to be down to my shorts here. Praise God. Okay, it's Holy Ghost. All right. Okay, somebody over there said it's not to Shanae. Shanae is fanning. And all right. Number 4, look for confirmation. Look for confirmation. Get wise counsel and look for confirmation. Look for confirmation. Here's this verse I gave you. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1. Paul saying this. He says, this will be the third time I'm coming to you. By the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, every word shall be established. And of course, Paul is using this as an example, but he's saying, listen, I've come to you 3 times sharing these things with you. Now, but what he's saying is, get a witness. It's an Old Testament scripture as well. Don't just make a major decision when it comes to business. Starting business is very, very difficult and very risky. Get sound counsel in that. Buying a home, all these types of things. Make sure that you check and get wise counsel in those types of things. Can you say amen? Amen. Getting married. It always happens. We have people, they disappear and then they get married. Like, dang, oh, meet my spouse. I'm like, oh, congratulations. Then 3 months later, they're sitting in my office, Pastor, help. You should have come here first. And maybe I could have told you. Come on, somebody. All right. Okay. Last. When you're in waiting, you've got to do the obvious. And I don't have time to go through all these things. But when God comes to people and gives them life-changing things, like David, what was David doing? He was being a shepherd. He was doing what he was supposed to be doing. Whatever it is, like Trey, we know Trey, he loves acting, but he's 12. Right. He's 12. So what do I know? Here's what I know. You're going to go finish high school, and you're going to do your absolute best. After you finish high school, you are going to college and do your absolute best. I know that, but I think I'm called to act. No, this is what you're supposed to be doing right now. When we felt called to, you can close your Bible, I won't go through all those passages, but when we felt in our heart to come and pastor here, we left everything. We sold everything we have, and I'll never forget the day, my wife, right here, we were in Orlando, Florida, and we're about to sell our house. We had just moved into our house. How long had we been in it? I can't remember, but we had furniture. It was like our dream home at that time. A nice in-ground pool and all. It was a beautiful Orlando home. Come on, somebody. And I felt in my heart, God's telling me to start a church, start a ministry. I come to Shanae and I say, I believe in my heart God's telling this, telling me to leave and go start a church. I believe in North Carolina, so on and so forth, right? I'll never forget the day. I can remember where she was standing when she said it to me. Little as she is, she came and pointed her finger at me. She said, Lee, please don't ruin my life. Please don't. I felt it. It resonated. I was terrified by her saying that. You get what I'm saying? Because I'm too, like, I mean, it's not like Jesus rang the doorbell and said, Lee, here, read this. oh, look, 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 the Lord just stopped by and he said to start the church. It didn't happen like that. I felt it in my heart and a desire to do it. I've never done that. I don't know what to do. And of course, I've got a family. I've got a home. We have a great life. So we sell our home. Now watch, y'all. We put our house up for sale by owner, right? Because we hadn't been living in it that long. But in the neighborhood that we lived in, there were maybe 5 or 6 other houses up for sale. And they had the realtor of the city for sale, right? The big realtor. And we put ours up for sale by owner. It sells that week. While all these other houses that have been on the market for a while are still up for sale. They were ringing our doorbell going, what did you do? I could say nothing but God wants us to move, right? So watch, the people come over to our house who want to buy our house. They love our house. They're walking through and we love this house. Watch this. And we love this furniture too. Shanae goes, so do I. We'll buy the house if we can buy the furniture too. Pressure. I'm like, you get what I'm saying? And all I can see is this little yellow finger in my face going, don't ruin our life. You get it? Because she's a submissive wife. She loves me. But at the same time, I'm like, God, Lord, and what does that cause me to do? Get on my face. So here we come here. We've sold everything now. We move into a 2-bedroom apartment. We had a 4 or 5-bedroom house with a pool. We come here and we've sold everything. And we move into this little apartment. And I've got two daughters, and I got a dog. Even the dog didn't like me. His name is Deacon. Moment of silence for Deacon Stokes. He's in dog pound in heaven now. But beautiful Sharpay, and did we live on the first floor? I can't remember. We moved in a little apartment, and it was a sacrifice. It was a major sacrifice. But God turned it around. Now watch, after we had our first service, no money. It cost us money. Cost us a lot of money to have service. You're with me? It cost us money. And it was spending everything we had. After we had that first service, guess what I did the next morning? Got a job. It was the obvious thing. I didn't start praying and crying. I got a job the next day. It was the obvious thing to do. Now, every job I went to, I worked my tail off. You know, I got an accounting degree, so I worked hard. And every job, they said, can we hire you? And I said, no, I really appreciate it, but this is not, I love helping y'all, but I can't do this. This is not what I want to do permanently. And they understood that and let me do it. And it didn't take long. It was within a year that the ministry was able to support us and that sort of thing. But do y'all get what I'm saying? Everything worked out. But I was on my face, like, God, please, I'm not going to ruin these people's lives. I am not going to do that. And my old pastor, Pastor Clint Brown, said to me, you know, he said, if it doesn't work out, come back. And I was willing to do that if I had to, because I would have missed God. Okay, I was wrong. You get it? Yeah. But it worked out, and God opened doors. Now, Shanae got, don't worry, she's good. We got the furniture we like. We got the pool. We got the house. Everything's back and even much better. Isn't that right? Everybody's happy now. And it worked out. But we put it before council. I put it before my pastor. I didn't even get to tell y'all. Some of y'all know this. But when it was in my heart that's what I was supposed to do, and I'm the administrator of the church at my church, working for my church in Orlando, Florida. And I go to my pastor, and I call him up one day because this is on the inside of me. You can't put your house up for sale without telling your boss, right? Because I'm thinking, if he drives by the house and sees a for sale sign, he's going to leave. What's going on? Where are you moving? You just bought this house. It's going to be a problem. So I call Pastor Clint Brown, and I call him. I say, hey, Pastor, can I take you out to lunch today? And he says, yeah, man. He meets me up at the church and pulls up, picks me up. We go to Wendy's. I could tell you where the table we sat today, right there on, I can't remember the name of the street, but right there that the church was on. And we went there to that Wendy's and 421, right there on that street. And I said, Pastor Brown, I said, I really believe the Lord has called me to start a church, pastor a church. He said, where? I said, in North Carolina. He said, oh, good. He thought I was going to say Orlando, Florida. And I said, no, North Carolina. He says, okay, good. And he says, all right. And he went on eating. Then he said, well, let me just tell you. He said, 2 visions in one house is thy vision. He said, today's your last day. Oh, the smile like that. He said, today's your last day. But I knew it. He said, today's your last day. And he says, but here's what I'm going to do for you, Lee, because I love you. He says, I'm not mad. He said, but I can't have you here if you've got another vision for something. I need people that are with me. He said, today's your last day. And I don't remember. He said, either I'm going to pay you 2 weeks or a month. I'll give you a month to get your stuff together, but don't come back into the office. you know, don't come back in there. He says, because people start asking questions, all this stuff. I'd rather not have that kind of division going on. I understand. But that was my last day there. Now I'm nervous. Because I wasn't ready to go just yet. You get what I'm saying? Lord, you're going to have to do something. Do you know then that somebody during that period of time called us and said, what's God put on your heart? And they wrote us a check for $30,000. We didn't ask it. It was unsolicited. God worked it all out for us. Are y'all with me? Let us hear and things worked out. Close your Bible. Y'all get what I'm saying.